It's just gone 9:28 Central African time. You're listening to the Basic Fiqh program, and we do have Mufti Saab on the program. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
We trust that you are well this morning, inshallah.
Inshallah, praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Last week we spoke about the demise of Mawlana Sami'ul Haq, rahmatullahi alayhi, and we mentioned that he was the son of Mawlana Abdul Haq, who was a lecturer of Darul Uloom Dioban, and later on he migrated to Pakistan and established Darul Uloom Haqqaniya, which is the biggest Darul Uloom in Pakistan. And in 1988, Mawlana Sami'ul Haq took over from his father, and he was then the Sheikhul Hadith there. We mentioned that he was a politician and a member of the Senate and the Parliament. He was well-traveled, and he met Imran Khan on a number of occasions, and he exchanged few ideas with him. Mawlana attended a mass rally. On his return, he stopped to rest, and at that moment he was assassinated and made a shaheed. And this was between Asr and Maghrib on a Friday, and he was between the ages of 81 or 83 years of age, as we mentioned last week. And the Janaza Salah then took place the next day at Darul Uloom, 3 p.m, and about 800,000 people attended the Janaza. So that was our last discussion we had, Mufti Saab.
Yes, Malana, it was very, very sad, you know, this tragic passing away and martyrdom of this great alim. He was not only just the Sheikhul Hadith, he was also the principal of the institution. He was a very, very prolific author.
Hmm.
Apparently, in the last few years of his life, most of his time he spent in writing. And Maulana used to keep, amazingly, a very detailed diary of all the events of his life. Daily he used to write whatever transpired, who he met, where he went, what he did, and so on. So this diary is actually something that he's bequeathed, left behind now, inshallah. We hope that it will be published soon, because this will become like a kind of, an account of history, recent history, the happenings in the world and so on, viewed from the lens of a great alim.
Mm.
So, yes, these are some of the great things about him. Of course, there will be lots of books and articles that will be written in due course. We also spoke about the martyrdom of a young alim of South Africa, Maulana Ahmad Kathrada.
Mm-hmm.
And then subsequently we heard the tragic news that, you know, people who were known to him had something to do with it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on us.
Amen.
Any case, Maulana, I think that was last week's discussion. But this week, inshallah, being the beginning of a great month, Rabiul Awwal, we will discuss some aspects of this month of Rabiul Awwal, some historic information, etc. So that will be our focus of discussion in today's program, Maulana.
MashaAllah.
So we see that, first of all, you know, the month of Rabiul Awwal is a month in which it is world known that our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born in this month, and it is also well known that he passed away in this month. Regarding the date of birth, there is this difference of opinion among scholars, but most of them are of the view that it is 12th of Rabiul Awwal, and as far as his demise is concerned, there is consensus that it was on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, which was on a Monday. So naturally, a month in which the beloved of Allah was born, he passed away in this month, we find that this month actually awakens in the Muslim a kind of a renewed attachment to the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it energizes us, and it sort of creates a greater enthusiasm remembering Nabi Akrib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and as a result of which lots of seerah programs are held and discussions are held and programs take place, you know, focusing on aspects of the life of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But at the same time, we also have to remember that it does not mean that discussions relating to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must be only confined to the month of Rabiul Awwal or the first 12 days of Rabiul Awwal, or only in the month of Rabiul Awwal. But actually, these discussions may get renewed or reinvigorated in Rabiul Awal, but these discussions must be perennial. It must be throughout the year. It must be throughout a person's life. In fact, it should not be specific to any day. It should be every day. That is the demand of the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there is no such a thing as seasonal love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when it is a certain season, then we express our love for him, and after that we forget everything about him. No, it is a deep-seated, true and genuine and real love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this kind of love is one in which there is no restriction of time or month or date. It is something that is continuous throughout the day and night, throughout the weeks and months and the years. And this was the kind of love that we found with the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum. They were the true and real lovers of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why they did not need any month or time of the year to reinvigorate or kindle in them the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or to discuss his life or his biography or his seerah, because they lived it every day of their life. Every minute he was virtually in their hearts and minds. They did not forget Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at any point in time. They were the true lovers. They were the ones who followed the sunnah to the letter and to the T. So, yes, Rabiul Awal does for us who have become weak in iman and so on, it becomes an opportunity to revive the discussions of the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it should be remembered that it must not be only confined to Rabiul Awal. We should have discussions regarding the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ideally every day of our life, or at least on frequent occasions we should be discussing various aspects of his Mubarak life. So this is a basic introduction regarding the month of Rabiul Awal. And Rabiul Awal is a month that is very rich in Islamic history. It's not only because of these two great events, the birth and the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but several other incidents are also reported or recorded in the history regarding the month of Rabiul Awal. So perhaps, inshallah, we could discuss some of those, Maulana.
Indeed, Mufti Sahib.
Like, for example, many people may not be aware of this reality, but the hijrah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam commenced on the 1st of Rabiul Awal. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyid Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu departed for the journey of hijrah from Makkah, and the first stop was the cave of Thawr, wherein they remained for 3 days. As we know, the cave of Thawr is situated in one of the mountains on the southern end of Makkah, which is called Jabal al-Thawr. And the cave of Thawr and Jabal al-Thawr is present even to this day. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they took refuge in the cave of Thawr. So their departure from Makkah, from the house of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was actually on this very day, the first day of Rabiul Awal. So this great historic journey of Hijrah, which is actually the beginning of the Islamic calendar, or the event that marks the Islamic calendar. I did mention this perhaps before on Radio Islam, I'm not too sure, Maulana. I did mention about the Islamic calendar and the beginning of the Islamic calendar, and the event that marked the beginning of the Islamic calendar, when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu realized the need of keeping an organized and systematic calendar, He consulted Sahaba about it, and they were discussing what would be the most significant event for the Muslims to base the calendar upon. So some said the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, others said the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Others gave other views and opinions, but the opinion that was most favored and supported was the opinion that it should be based on the event of the hijra of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that was the turning point for Islam. So therefore, the Islamic calendar is based on the event of the hijra. We say first year of hijra, and 1440 years after the hijra, which took place 13 years after Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the prophethood, the wahi, and he was conferred with prophethood. 13 years after that event, the hijra occurred. And it was 10 years before the demise of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, we say the demise of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in 10 AH, 10 years after the advent of the hijra. So the hijra was made the focal point of establishing the Islamic calendar. The Islamic calendar, the years are calculated on the actual hijra itself, the event of the hijra. And this hijra took place on the first of Rabiul Awwal. Sometimes we might get the wrong impression when it is said that the Islamic calendar is based on the hijra. We might think the hijra was in Muharram. But it was not in Muharram. Muharram is the first month of the calendar, so therefore we say right, this is the beginning of the new year because Muharram is the first month. But it does not automatically mean that the hijra took place in Muharram. The hijra actually did not take place in Muharram. It took place on the first of Rabiul Awwal, and as we know, that it was in total a journey of 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
So we could say that it was, including if we take the days that were spent in the cave and so on, it is as if Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had arrived at Medina on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal.
MashaAllah.
So subhanAllah, we see from this that this month of Rabiul Awwal is a month that is so rich in Islamic history. The beginning of the hijra, the completion of the hijra, the birth of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the demise of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all associated with the month of Rabiul Awwal. Then furthermore, we also find some other events that occurred in the month of Rabiul Awwal in Islamic history. For example, we find the demise of the son of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Ibrahim radiyallahu ta'ala an. Sayyidina Ibrahim radiyallahu ta'ala an, who was born from the union with Sayyida Maria Qibtiya radiyallahu anha. She was the mother of Ibrahim, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved this little child of his, and he was only 2 years old when he passed away, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very grieved, and he shed a lot of tears on the demise of his beloved Ibrahim. But he declared that, O Allah, the heart is grieved, the eyes are flowing, but the tongue will never utter a word of complaint, because this is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is on this occasion that the eclipse also took place, and people, ignorant people, they attributed this to the demise of Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refuted this idea and this thought, and he said, Inna shamsa wal qamar la yakhsifani li mawti ahadin wala li hayati. The sun and moon eclipses do not take place because of the death of someone or the birth of someone. These are signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala an, the beloved son of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his qabr is also found there in Jannatul Baqi. Those people who have the opportunity of visiting Jannatul Baqi, they will see that as you pass the graves of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi and Imam Nafi rahmatullah alayhi, on the pathway leading to the grave of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on the left hand side, there is a grave. It is a bit smaller in size than the normal graves. and that is the grave of Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ibrahim ibn Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away on the 10th of Rabiul Awwal. So that is approximately 2 days before the demise of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of the date, right? So that was Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala anhu had also passed away in the month of Rabiul Awwal. Then we find that one of the wives of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Zainab bint Khuzayma radiallahu anha, she also passed away in the month of Rabiul Awwal. So here we see the demise of some of the very close family of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also in this month of Rabiul Awwal. We've heard the name of a very great Imam whose name I just mentioned now a few minutes ago, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh was known as Imam Udar al-Hijra, the Imam of the abode of Hijra, that is Medina Munawwara. He was known as the Alim of Medina, the Imam of the people of Medina, Imam Udar al-Hijra, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, who a very renowned personality and scholar, one of the founders of the four Islamic schools of jurisprudence, the Madhaib al-Arba'a as they are called. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh also passed away in the month of Rabiul Awwal, and that was on the 7th of Rabiul Awwal. But of course, this was many years later. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh passed away in Rabiul Awwal. According to some narrations, in 179 after Hijrah, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh passed away, and he's buried in Jannatul Baqi. And as I mentioned earlier on, that when you turning now in the pathway past the graves of the daughters and wives of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you take a turn to the right and you're walking down towards the grave of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala, which is quite further down, on the way, right as you take the turn in the corner on the left hand side, there are two graves there, and one is the grave of Imam Malik and the other one is the grave of Imam Nafi rahmatullah alayh. So this great Imam, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, also passed away in the month of Rabiul Awwal. Another very great personality in the history of Islam, also a very great Imam, and also one of the four great Imams in the history of Islam, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. We've heard the name of this great Imam. He was known as Imam Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the Imam of the Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, because he is the one who stood up very staunchly against the fitna of the Mu'tazilites or the Mu'tazili sect. These were people who had wreaked havoc in the Muslim world. They came up with theories based on rationale and logic and did not accept anything that went against their concept of rationale and logic, and they came up with the distorted ideology that the Quran is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it is not the eternal speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, they were refuting the belief of Quran being Kalamullah, and they said it is just a makhluk and creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they say, here's the Quran in my hand, between these two covers what I'm holding, it's in my hands, so it is a creation. So obviously this was a wrong concept, because that is the printed copy of the Quran. And the Quran is not the printed copy. The Quran is the actual wording that emanated from our Rabb, Allah Rabbul Izzat himself. So therefore, that is a printed copy of the Quran. The actual Quran is that those words itself which emanated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of the wahi that came upon Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore it is Kalamullah. And Kalamullah is ghair makhluk, it is not a created thing, as was the distorted belief of the Mu'tazilite sect. And they were able to influence the rulers of their time, the khalifs of their time, I can't exactly remember. I think it was Ma'mun al-Rashid, who was one of those rulers of the Abbasid Khilafah. The Abbasis, they were those who were from the family of Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they took over the rulership of the Muslim world, and it was one of their rulers that then subjected Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi to severe torture. He was disgraced in the public, and he was lashed very severely, such severe lashes that the people say if an elephant had to be lashed with that might and fury, it would have shrieked in pain. But this was that Imam of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, that he did not utter a sound and he exercised total sabr. And this great Imam stood up and he combated this fitna, because of which he had to suffer immensely. He was thrown into prison and so on. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the sacrifices of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and his strong defense of the beliefs of the Ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused this fitna of the Mu'tazilas to be eradicated, and this fitna lost its power and its influence, and once more the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah gained ascendancy, and this fitna of the Ummah was removed. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, because of his sacrifices and his firm stand and staunch position in this matter, he's acknowledged by the Ummah and the ulama of this Ummah as Imam Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the Imam of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. What a beautiful and great title to be conferred upon a personality. That was Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, an extremely pious and great scholar of this Ummah. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh passed away in the month of Rabiul Awwal, and he passed away on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. Subhanallah. The demise of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, and this great scholar of the Ummah and this great servant of the Sunnah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, his demise was also on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal in the year 241 after Hijrah. So here we find another great personality also departed from this world in the month of Rabiul Awwal. The two great Imams of this Ummah, Imam Malik and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, passed away in this very month of Rabiul Awwal. So as I said earlier on, Maulana, that the month of Rabiul Awwal is one that is quite rich in Islamic history.
Indeed.
We see also another very significant event that took place in the month of Rabiul Awwal. And that is the conquest of the city of Constantinople, which is known today as Istanbul, but which was actually more appropriately named Islambul.
Islambul.
And it is now called Istanbul, but it was actually Islambul, which meant that the establishment of Islam, and Islam had gained ascendancy and power. So the city of Istanbul, which was called Constantinople, was also conquered in the month of Rabiul Awwal.
Subhanallah.
And as we know, the famous conqueror who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected at the tender age of just 21 years, Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih, this great conqueror, this great hero of the Muslim Ummah, at the tender age of 21, he was the one who conquered the city of Istanbul, Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih. And that was that coincided with the month of May in 1453. So that is the reason why we find that the current government of Turkey, they have shown a lot of interest in reviving the history of the conquest of Istanbul. Lots of efforts have been done to preserve that history, and to preserve that history and to make it alive and graphic, they have a museum or a kind of a display that has been established in Istanbul, and it is called 1453, the Museum of 1453, which is not far out from the actual old city of Istanbul, maybe a few kilometers out. If you travel on the metro rail system, it's quite easy to reach there, just a few stations away from Blue Mosque or Sultan Ahmed Mosque is where we find this museum of 1453. Alhamdulillah, I had the opportunity of visiting this museum a few times already.
Masha.
And it is always very fascinating to visit it. It's a kind of a 3D display of the conquest of Istanbul. And you take headphones, which are available when you enter this museum. After you've paid for your entry, they have some earphones there, headphones, and you put on your headphones and you select your language. And as you're walking around this circular display, which is projected on the walls of a dome-like structure, as you're walking at different points, there are sensors, and the sensors pick up your presence there, and then that part of the history which is displayed there is recounted, and the whole thing becomes graphic and alive of where the Sultan was and where the Sheikh al-Islam was with him, and the Sultan on his white charger, his white horse, and all the troops and infantry, where they were positioned, and they've got the images of the cannons that were built by the Hungarian engineers for the Sultan to conquer the city of Istanbul, and how the fort was smashed with those massive cannons, and how the Muslim soldiers climbed up, and the enemy were pouring boiling hot oil down, and some were made shaheed in this way, and others managed to get into the fortified city for the first time. After centuries, people were able to get into the fortified city of Istanbul, and how this city was conquered in the most amazing conquest in the history of the world. The city of Istanbul was conquered by Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih in May 1453. This also coincides with the month of Rabiul Awwal. And this actually occurred in the Hijra year of 857. 1453 Gregorian and 857 Islamic year, Rabiul Awwal, in which the city of Istanbul was conquered by Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih. It's a very glorious chapter in the history of Islam, and those who go to Istanbul or Turkey for vacations or whatever, then I would encourage you to visit this museum. It's not actually a museum in the conventional sense. It's a very modernized concept of a museum. It's got a 3D display, and yes, there are certain artifacts that are in glass boxes and so on, which you can see. But this history has been preserved, as I said, by the present-day government. They have preserved this amazing history, and it would be really interesting to go and see and get a feel of how it was. You feel as if you are standing in the battlefield when you are there, because it's made sort of alive, the sounds of the cannons and the sounds of the soldiers shouting and screaming and all of those things you are able to almost experience, and the Golden Horn and the ships in the Golden Horn and all of those things. It's made very graphic and easy to sort of understand how the city was conquered by Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih and his troops. So I think, Maulana, that brings us to the end of the session.
We've conquered the program of Tisab.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So these were some significant events that happened in the month of Rabiul Awwal. Normally we know of the one or two important events, but we lose sight of so many of the other important events that happen in Rabiul Awwal. Maulana, I'm sure you've been to Istanbul.
No, Mufti Sahib, not yet.
I hope, inshallah, you'll get the opportunity to go soon.
Inshallah.
And so, take the BB with you.
Inshallah.
Go, inshallah, and make a point of visiting Panorama 1453, it is called.
MashaAllah.
Panorama 1453. You should go and undertake a visit of this Panorama 1453.
MashaAllah.
You really remember me there, inshallah, when you go.
Inshallah.
Inshallah ta'ala. So I think that brings us to the end. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.